Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation, the final book of the Bible, opens many things to us in its 22 chapters. But the key to unlocking these revelations is to realize that primarily this is a book of signs and symbols. The final sign, that of a city called New Jerusalem, reveals God's ultimate intention and our ultimate destiny. To see this, however, requires not just our natural understanding. Revelation 21, verse 10 says, "And he carried me away in spirit onto a great and high mountain, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." If we can be in spirit as John was, and in a sense be carried away to a high mountain by the Lord's mercy, we can see this city as well. Joining us today to fellowship once more regarding the New Jerusalem is Francis Ball. Francis, I'm glad you're here again.
Thank you very much, Chris. I hope that we can be carried away in spirit onto a high mountain and see some aspects of this New Jerusalem.
One of the striking things about the city, Francis, that is the focus of the final 2 chapters of the whole Bible, is its measurements. Nearly every aspect of it is measured, and those measurements are spoken of in chapter 21. For the sake of time today, we're going to focus primarily on 2 aspects, 2 measurements regarding this city. First, we want to see the overall dimensions of the city, and we see this in chapter 21, verse 16. It says, "And the city lies square, and its length is as great as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed to a length of 12,000 stadia. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal." Francis, we have a gigantic cube described here, 12,000 stadia in 3 directions, 3 dimensions.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is. This is all we're going to see very meaningful, not coincidental. And actually, the Bible itself will help us to understand the significance of these measurements. Let's join Witness Lee with our first portion today.
We come to the third message on the New Jerusalem. The first thing we have to see concerning the New Jerusalem is its measurement. The breadth and the length, both are the same. Not only so, the head, it's also the same. So it is the same in 3 dimensions. So what? So the whole city in its measurement is a cube. In the Bible, you could find out only 2 things, the measurement of which is the same in 3 dimensions. Number 1, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. It was 10 cubits in 3 dimensions. And this is shown in Exodus. So 10 cubits in 3 dimensions. In principle, this is the Holy of Holies. Then in 1 Kings, you have another thing. That is the Holy of Holies in the temple. In the temple, I tell you, here the inner chamber of the temple, that means the Holy of Holies, I think I'm right, is 30 cubits. 30 cubits high, 30 cubits deep, and 30 cubits wide. It is also the same in 3 dimensions. Based upon this, you can understand and you have to realize that the whole New Jerusalem will be what? The Holy of Holies. A big, even the biggest Holy of Holies. But I'd like to check with you, what is the principle of the Holy of Holies? The principle of the Holy of Holies is this. Human beings can live, stay, walk, and behave right in the presence of God. This is the principle of the Holy of Holies. You know, according to Exodus, no people was allowed to enter into the Holy of Holies. Only the high priest. Only the high priest. But when we come to Hebrew, we are told that today, through the redeeming blood of Christ, the Holy of Holies of God is open to all His redeemed ones. All the redeemed ones today, through the blood of Christ, can enter into the presence of God and stay here and live here and to be one with God in a very good communion and fellowship. This is the principle of the Holy of Holies. Oh, the coming New Jerusalem is altogether such a place, such a thing. A thing that human beings can be in it to touch God, to see God, to worship God, and to serve God, and even to live and stay in the presence of God.
Francis, this is a tremendous point. I want to read this verse he was referring to in Hebrews, where the Holy of Holies is opened up to all of God's people. It says, "Having therefore, brothers, boldness for entering the Holy of Holies in the blood of Jesus." This is our destiny, isn't it? This New Jerusalem.
Amen. That's just too wonderful. I just had the feeling in listening to Brother Lee again to realize that we can live in this kind of realm. Because of the blood of Jesus, we have such access to living right in the presence of God, behaving, living, walking, conducting ourselves, one with God right in His presence. This is not only our future hope, but this is our present opportunity to be entering into this New Jerusalem, which is our final destiny.
Francis, talk a little bit about its enlargement. It starts as the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle, 10 cubits by 10 cubits by 10, then an enlargement, an improvement when we get to the temple. Now it's 30 cubits by 30 cubits by 30 cubits. But ultimately, when we get to the New Jerusalem, 12,000 stadia, which I think he points out somewhere in this message, is more than 1,360 miles.
Well, I noticed that it was over 7 million feet when you begin to compare these figures with our present measure. But these two previous cubes, the one in the tabernacle and the one in the temple, really were exclusive, you might say, only for those who were specially marked out that could enter into that, because that was a picture, that was a type. But now, all the believers cleansed by the blood of Christ can live in that cube, which is so large and so inclusive. So I feel like it's marvelous how the Word of God just opens up these kind of things in a very progressive way, not only here, but especially in this matter. The only time we have these three cubes all indicate that this is something going on in the presence of God with man able to join in. There, for a time, it was limited about which man could join in. But when you get to the New Jerusalem, it includes every believer because we're all cleansed by the blood of Christ. And now it's not a matter of some over others, but everyone can enter into this rich enjoyment of the New Jerusalem. Isn't that marvelous?
Oh, this is tremendous. Well, we mentioned earlier we were going to look at another measurement ascribed to the city. This one is in verse 17. "And he measured its wall 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel." Francis, this is an interesting phrase, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. If we go back to Matthew 22, we find that man is like an angel only in resurrection. So this verse really points us to the resurrection life being the only life that's present, that's qualified, that's suitable for the New Jerusalem. I think that's a background our listeners will need as we join Witness Lee for this next section.
The wall of the city is measured with the measurement of man, that is, of angel. And this means what? The measurement is not only according to the divine nature, but also according to resurrection. It has to be in resurrection. This is very, very important. Even today in the church life, anything you do, anything you say, anything you be, all has to be in resurrection. You may check with me, what do you mean, brotherly, to say that we are in resurrection? I tell you, you know the principle of resurrection. Resurrection means what? Means the natural life got killed. Then something rises up. This is resurrection. The natural life is crucified, and the divine life rises up. This is resurrection. We all have to realize in the church today, whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we be, we have to realize that our natural being has to be killed. Sometimes it seemed I lost my temper. A number of times when I was going to lose my temper, I exercised my spirit to crucify my natural man. Do you understand me? Then whatever I did was in resurrection. The natural man, the natural being, has to be crucified, has to be killed. Not only to lose your temper, if you are going to love me, don't come to love me in a natural way. You have to love me just as I have to love you. We all have to love another, what? In resurrection. The natural love is likened like what? Like honey. We need a kind of love in resurrection. A kind of love killed by the cross and resurrected with the divine life. And this love is no more honey. This is frankincense with salt in it. You know, the meal offering all the time was with frankincense and salt, but without honey. Today, many Christians, they're all like honey. Love your neighbor, love your husband, love your wife, love one another. Sometimes that is not real. That is natural love. Not the love in resurrection. Not the love firstly dealt with by the cross, and secondly raised up with the divine life. Then, if you love, you don't love with your natural life, but you love by the divine life. This kind of love by the divine life is the resurrected love. And this is love in resurrection.
Francis, there is much that is done in the name of Christ, or in so-called Christian virtue, that outwardly seems very good. But in reality, inwardly, it lacks any mark of Christ's death or resurrection. Of course, we know that God is love, Francis, but not all love is God, is it?
Yes, that's certainly true. And the reason, I believe, is brought out very clear here by Brother Lee, and that is the death aspect. Without this kind of crucifying our natural man in our way of dealing with people, we will certainly have a love for them that's not divine love, that's not God's love. I know in my own experience, there are many times when I have a tendency toward caring for someone or loving someone, and I realize that that's just my natural way. So Brother Lee's pointing out here how much we need to be in resurrection. This is what is really pictured by the measurement of this wall, this matter of being in resurrection. The measure of a man, that is of an angel, as you pointed out, means that we're in resurrection. Because in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "For in the resurrection they will neither marry nor given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven."
Right.
This is a reference to being in resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the point that's being made today, that we need to be those who always act and live in the resurrection life. Even in loving one another, it mustn't be the old common lustful love, but it must be love, not that's natural either, but that's in resurrection. To love someone just in our natural way will not minister Christ to them. It will not minister life to them. So we need to be these people that are always living in resurrection, which comes out of our willingness to put the natural life to death and take the divine life, which is in our spirit, as our way of dealing with people.
Francis, this is an experiential point, much more so than a doctrinal one. I think in this coming section, we're going to hear a personal testimony when he describes an event that was still vivid in his recollection from when he was a young person and learning this lesson. But I would say this manifestation of God's love for people comes in a number of ways. We're talking about not settling for a natural or a kind of a sentimental love or affection for the other believers, but really touching the love that Christ has for the believers and mankind.
Yes.
There is a stark contrast, a very different taste here, isn't there?
Yes, there really is. And it's the difference that must be experienced by us for us to really express the Lord in our daily living.
Well, let's go to Witness Lee and pick up this very helpful story. I think this is a section that will be a real value to our listeners.
I could never forget. That was in 1932. One day, I noticed a saint who was a sister. She helped others, yet she wouldn't buy a good Bible for herself. Gilt edge with leather bound. No, she wouldn't buy. She spent her money to help some needy ones. And I saw she was using a poor old Bible. Then a burden came to me that I had to buy a good Bible for her. I knew I shouldn't let her know that was bought by me and given by me. I went to the Lord, check. Lord, I'm going to buy such a Bible for the sister. Is this... by my natural life, or is this in your resurrection life? By that, surely I have learned a lot. I couldn't buy that Bible right away because I was not so sure that was resurrection life. So I waited for quite time until one day I was so sure, I was so clear that was not by my natural life. And that was what? In resurrection. That day I did it. And she didn't know that was done by me. But there was a real story to confirm her faith and to help her to grow in believing the Lord. I might have done that the same thing few weeks ago. If I did that so earlier, probably there would not be such a thing so much in the right time to help her. So I was waiting until I got to be clear that was not anything by my natural life, but 100% in resurrection. Then when I got the clearness and assurance, and I did it, and that was the right day, she needed the help. So we all have to learn not just to love another, we have to tell what kind of love we are going to love with. Surely you have to love me and I have to love you, but we have to love one another, not in our natural life, but in the divine life. Learn this lesson, try to see what this will be in resurrection, not in the natural life.
Francis, this is a marvelous story. I think it has help for all of us to differentiate, to realize the difference between our natural goodness, our natural love, and the genuine resurrection life that has nothing to do with natural good human behavior. Maybe you have some experiences that will help us along this line.
Well, I think some of the experiences I've had, Chris, could help along this line. One thing I've noticed, that my tendency to do something good for someone quite often has a little honey or leaven in it, because I realized that it would be kind of a self-exaltation or something to gain favor with a person I'm going to do something good for. But this is has been exposed to me a number of times that this is really the natural way, and it does not bring people to experience the Lord. And I don't get to experience the Lord either, because I'm just in my natural man. But when I have waited and thinking to do something of a nature, just like what Brother Lee mentioned, doing something good for someone that would really help them to grow in their faith and in their life, if you wait and really contact the Lord and have the sense that this is really the timing, this is the right time. And the verse comes to mind, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. This keeps us from trying to always do something that will give us a little exalted favor in someone else's eyes. This is not the divine love. Divine love is to love just because God loves. Even to love our mate, it means we take the love of Christ to enable us to love our husband or our wife. So I think there's lots of experiences like this available for us if we could just stop. Say, Lord, is this you or is this just me?
Francis, I think this is a very good time for this program to come to an end. You know, oftentimes the thought is right and probably initiated by the Lord and in our spirit even. But then we are so quick to carry it out in a way that doesn't take into consideration, is this really the Lord's way and His timing? And of course, so much is done today in an outward way, in a showy way that brings much glory to men and not to Christ. Resurrection life always, as you said, it always has the effect of bringing the recipient of that expression of love to the Lord and not just to appreciate
right.
us. I enjoyed our fellowship immensely today. This was a lot of help for me along the way, Francis. I appreciate that you would open up and share your own experience with us.
Well, it's always good to be in this program with you, Chris, and I feel like that there's a mutual benefit here that doesn't exalt either one of us, but I hope bring something of the life of Christ to the audience.
Well, Francis, we have to finish up this life study of Revelation. We'll have you back at least a time or two in the coming days and look forward to that. We'd like to invite you to call us. We would love to talk to you about these life study volumes. We realize how much help they are. The points we touch in this program are developed and expanded in a lot more detail. And we would like to be able to do it in that way, but we're limited by time each day. So the best is if you can get these volumes for yourself. Of course, we have a number of books available that touch these topics. We'd love to tell you about all of that and be with us as we continue to wrap up the life study of Revelation. A couple more programs yet to go on the New Jerusalem. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.